What's good, everybody? Welcome back, or welcome to Light on the Hill podcast, a Christian podcast where we talk everything faith, life, culture, where they intersect. I'm your host, Sanya. Guys, the day I've had today, I'm just so exhausted. It's like pre-exam week. Okay, not pre-exam week, but I have exams in like 2 weeks. Yeah, like 2 weeks, slightly over 2 weeks, but under 3 weeks. And I have so much backlog to catch up on, but there's grace. That's why I keep telling myself there's grace, there's grace, there's grace. And I think I just have to sacrifice some things so I can really push and just write the exam stress free. So today's episode, I don't even want to waste time. I don't want to go in circles. Today's episode was very, I think it's very heavy. And last week, I was just like, I don't want to record this because it just felt like a very heavy topic to me. And 9 out of 10 times, I know when I feel like that, it's because I need to hear what I'm about to say more than the person on the other end of the screen. So guys, let's get into it. Today's episode, just to give you like a preview, is going to be about holiness. It's going to be about living for Christ, really living for Him, surrendering every part of your life to Him. And yeah, to kick it off, we're going to start with some scripture. There's going to be like a lot of Bible in this episode, so if you have a physical Bible, I'd advise you to pull it out, or if you have the app on your phone, you can just use that. But like, the physical Bible just eats more, or maybe it's just me. But yeah, so we're going to start off with Revelation 3 verse 15 to 17, which says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing, but you don't realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. So, this verse, for the longest, I was like, Jesus is saying we should rather, he would rather were hot, yes, obviously hot, or cold. And I was like, question mark. And also just how, like, recently, okay, not recently, but I think in the past, like, 10 years-ish, the word lukewarm has been thrown around a lot, so much to a point where I think it's even lost like what it actually means. So to explain this analogy, I don't know why I always imagine tea when I read this, but anyways, to explain this verse, I will use another verse. No, not another verse. I'll use an analogy that I've heard like so many times, but I think it's perfect. So imagine you are standing in this wide space, right? And right in front of you, there's this long, never-ending fence, a picket fence. And to your left, it's a field that's flourishing with all the fruits you could imagine, all the plants and everything you could imagine, but it's unfamiliar. And on your right is a city on fire, flames. You can hear screams, you can hear sounds of torture, you can hear everything traumatic, all the traumatic sounds, but it's familiar, it feels familiar. You know it's wrong, you know it's scary, you know it's detrimental to go there, but it feels familiar. So the fear in you of going where it looks good but it's unfamiliar versus going where you know it's bad but you're used to it. You're so paralyzed by the fear or by the indecisiveness that you decide to sit on the fence, right? So the left side belongs to God, the kingdom of God, and all the goodness that comes with him. And the right side belongs to the devil, kingdom of darkness, sin, just destruction. And you sit on the fence. And the left side slowly begins to vanish and disappear. And the right side vanishes and disappears. But before it's completely gone, the devil comes up to you. And he's like, you're coming with me. And you're like, I didn't choose. I'm on the fence. And the devil goes like, the fence is mine. The fence belongs to me. And I think that's like the perfect analogy to explain this verse. Jesus is basically saying, be all in for him. Or don't be in for him at all. Don't pretend. I think it's really, the more you like grow closer to Christ, the more you understand things like this. It's like fully commit or just leave it alone. Fully commit or just leave it alone. Even in relationships, you would rather have someone leave you alone completely, like out of your life, rather than someone coming into your life, being inconsistent, not truly being dedicated to you. This is like relationships across the board, because it feels disrespectful. It feels like they don't genuinely care and all that. So, I was thinking about how I'm going to start this conversation, how I'm going to get my mind going. I feel like I have, like on my phone, I always have these like prompts. It's always questions. I think that's how my mind works best. A question will start sparking like all these connections, and I can really like get going and really air the thoughts and stuff. So my first question, or my opening statement, is Christian girl era. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with saying that. It's just a phrase, it's not that serious. I think I've said Christian girl era before. I don't know, but this is not speaking to the phrase itself. It's speaking to the heart behind which you use the phrase. Being a Christian is hard. You are literally rewiring how your mind has been working for however long. You are literally rewiring what feels natural, what feels easy to do, which is sin, which is wrongdoing and all that stuff. It's not easy. I love this podcast. It's called Saved Not Soft by Emmy Moore. And the title itself just speaks volumes to what the Christian walk is like. It's not a soft journey, you know. It's a journey that refines you. It's a journey that builds you. It brings so much love, so much. It brings all the good things, but it's not easy. And sometimes, like, phrases like this, again, I have used this phrase multiple times, so don't feel called out. Just use it as a point to reflect on. Christian girl era, Christianity is not a trend. And, you know, when you, if you go type up Christian girl era on TikTok, you will see, like, probably, like, cutesy aesthetic, like, pink Bible, pink, I don't know, pink notebook, pink. I can say that because I have a pink Bible and like three pink notebooks. It looks cute. It looks aesthetic. It looks fun. It looks, I don't know, it looks appealing. But what people on the internet, hopefully, what people on the internet are not showing you is them losing friends. Them losing literally even family, them losing an entire world, like the world that they knew, and stepping into this unfamiliar terrain. People have to step out of their comfort zones. They have to fight social anxiety to step into community, step into a church, all this stuff. And brief pause, I will never ever stop pushing the community agenda. I got Kingdom City Zambia. It's an amazing church. And I think I truly started to fully experience church when I stopped letting social anxiety be the loudest voice in my ear. I like this church. Okay, now I'm deviating, but it's okay. It's fine. We'll get back to them. Let's put a pin in the actual conversation. We'll get back to it. I remember walking into this church, and I think I said this in like the second episode or something. I remember walking into this church, and everyone was hugging everyone. Like, hugs were just flying around, and I was like, what's going on? And I remember meeting our pastor, Pastor Sean, at the door, and this is the happiest adult I have ever seen in my life. Like, he was just so excited, so happy to see me. Mine is our first time meeting. He was so happy to see me. I walk in, everyone is just like, the atmosphere is just warm and welcoming. So imagine my shock, imagine my surprise when the excited man who was at the door hops up on stage, starts preaching. And I'm like, wow. And I think when I truly just let people in, I found the best community, the best friends. And community has changed my life, literally. But I digress. Back to what I'm talking about. Christianity is not a trend. It's a lifestyle. It's a journey. It's hard, but beautiful, you know. I think its hardness shouldn't take away from the beauty of the transformation that comes with God renewing your mind. It should never take away from that, but we should also never try to negate that fact or ignore the fact that it is hard. It is. And I think living for Christ truly means forsaking your old ways. I think we often have this idea in our minds that they are, and honestly, I don't even think it's something we intentionally do, because I know it's something I never intentionally did, where I rank and rate the sins, and like, so long as I'm not falling in like the top 10, like the really bad ones, I'm good. So it's like, if I'm like number 8, 9, 10, like if I'm messing with those sins, then I'm cool. But what does the Bible say? So we're going to go to Galatians 5, verse 17 to 21. And it says, "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh." Constant conflict. "They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law." So I think, I'm not too sure what this means. I don't want to lie, but I think this means that a lot of letters, Paul talks about how people are now justifying themselves, or I don't know if I can say claiming salvation according to them living according to the law. You know what I mean? That's why at the point he talked about one who is circumcised outwardly but isn't in their heart, isn't even really circumcised, then what's the point, you know? But someone whose heart is circumcised but outwardly they are not, then they are truly, you know, circumcised, meaning like a sign of covenant. And yeah, so I think that's what that part means. I don't know, I'm going to pray about it and do further research. You should too. But yeah, then the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, no, that's horrible. Would never be me. I would never do that. Sexual impurity, ew, no. Why would someone do that? That's horrible. It's the worst of the worst. Debauchery? I can't believe you. Idolatry? You're putting other things before God? What? Witchcraft. Hey, witchcraft. You have any witch on top of it? Worst of the worst. It's like the top 5, top 10 worst ones. And then, like, I think our minds just switch off at that point. And then hatred. Okay, yeah, hatred is bad. It's bad. Discord. Gray, 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 gray. Jealousy. Fits of rage. Guys, me, I've used crashing out so many times. I still use crashing out. I need to stop because fits of rage, that's crashing out, guys. They could have put crashing out here. If it was a Gen Z Bible, Gen Z slang Bible, this would be crashing out. Selfish ambition. Dissensions. Okay, selfish ambition. I've seen a lot of people say, be selfish with yourself, like be selfish with your time, put yourself first. And I've seen people say, think about others more than you think about yourself. And I think the thin line is, you are a Christian, love your neighbor as you love yourself, but you're not like, it's not like you don't think. You get what I mean? It's like discernment, wisdom, all these things. I think it's important to ask God to help you, even just sometimes have sense, because there are things where you feel like, okay, me, I have nothing. Like, I have nothing at all. And that person also has nothing. And you want to give your nothing to them. And it's like, this can go two ways. If God is telling you to do that, do it. But if you genuinely don't have anything and you give it to them without having means of feeding yourself, upkeep, whatever, then I don't know. It's definitely a thing where you have to really ask God to give you wisdom on how to discern things and not just be like gullible. But that's just my thing. I don't know. And then dissensions. So I was like, what does dissension mean? And dissensions are disagreements that lead to discord. And I was like, how many times have you started? And this is like, I think this is specific to relationships, but how many times have you started an argument with your boyfriend just for fun? Acts of the flesh. And then factions. And I was like, what does factions mean? Like, I think I had like a vague idea, but it says a smaller group within a larger group that is usually self-seeking. Have you guys seen that meme where it's like, it's a guy like looking really suspicious, like, and he's like, when the fool they're talking about in Proverbs starts sounding scarily like you, or starts seeming like they're talking about you. 'Cause like small groups in a large group that are self-seeking. And like the first thing that came to mind was like how like some churches have like those little like cliques. And it's not even young people, it's just like older people. And they have like these cliques and they like talk about people and all this like funny stuff and they're like holier than thou. Like that's what came to mind on the cliques part. And then you have envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this, the mosquito, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So that was Galatians 5, verse 17 to 21. And then it just got me thinking, like, how many times have we been like, okay, I'm not sexually immoral, I'm not adulterous, I don't partake in debauchery, I don't have idols, I'm not doing witchcraft. But you're manipulating your friend. You're manipulating the people in your life. Like, someone said this and like it stuck with me, and they said manipulation is literally putting someone in a false reality so they can do what you want. Tell me that's not witchcraft. Tell me that's not witchcraft. And I think everyone, okay, I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of saying I'm not doing witchcraft. I'm not like partaking in idolatry. I'm not doing this, that, and the third. But I get really upset sometimes. Fits of rage, discord, hatred, all these other smaller things, or rather things that we often disregard or brush to the side. And it's like, I don't gossip about people. But every chance you get, you're talking about your relative who did this, that, and the third. Spilling the tea. Tea that has nothing to do with you, nothing to do with the person you're telling, and is slanderous to the person you're talking about. And I think this is something we're all guilty of, honestly. And it's something, honestly, that's so built into the society in such a discreet way, you don't even realize that, okay, this is actually crazy and this is something I do. Because what do you mean you set aside time to sit down and talk about other people's downfalls, other people's this, that, and the third? Are you praying for the person? Does this person even, is this person in your life? How did you even get the information? Was it through dubious back? Or did the person confide in you? And if they did, why are you telling someone else? Honestly, I think this has called me out the most. Like, it's not even in my notes. I was actually going to skip over it. Not skip over it, but it wasn't like a main point of focus. But I think it's really called me out. But yeah. And it ends off saying, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it's like, why? It's because your life isn't truly being transformed if you are actively partaking in these things. Because it's one thing to struggle with something, but it's another to know it's a struggle, know it's wrong, and just actively stay in it. And it's like, if you're actively fighting it and you slip up, that's it, it happens. But at least you are striving and pushing towards not living like that anymore. And ignorance is not bliss, guys. It's not bliss. It's really not. And you may be like, living holy, as described by the Bible, may seem too much or old-fashioned, or you're doing too much, it's not that serious, it's not that deep. It is that deep. And I was saving this part for the end, but I think I'll just add it in now. On the same, it's not that deep. So we know Christ died for us and to give us salvation and all that stuff. But let's really zoom in on that and look at how he died. This is God on earth, fully man, fully God. He could have died in his sleep. He could have died a quick and easy death. Jesus' death was embarrassing, it was painful, it was horrendous, it was traumatic. And the Bible has accounts in, I think, all the Gospels of how he died. Some go into more detail than the others. You can look that up for yourself. But I wanted to understand what it was really like, what it really felt like. And this man called Dr. Frederick Zugerby, a forensic pathologist and expert on crucifixion, conducted extensive studies on the physiological effects of crucifixion. His work, particularly in one of his studies called The Crucifixion of Jesus, a Forensic Inquiry, provides a medical perspective on what Jesus likely endured. And just to, you can go look that up on the internet, but just a summary of his forensic analysis, it confirmed that Jesus likely suffered severe blood loss from scourging. So when they said he was whipped, it was like the Romans used to use this like leather whip which had like bones or metal attached to it. And It said he had excruciating nerve pain from nail wounds. And from what I read, it's like the wounds, like the piercing, it felt like a burning sensation. And they would also like pierce the feet, and that would like make it painful and difficult to breathe. Because you know how like when you breathe, your chest like heaves up, it would make that difficult and painful. And there were muscle spasms, respiratory distress, shock, cardiac failure, leading to death. And it's like, that's traumatic, that's horrible and all that. But he loved us. And even when he went through all that, he knew he was going to go through all that, he still loved us unashamedly. He still went against what society felt was right. He still dined with us. He still associated with us. Yes, he dined with sinners. That's us. That represents us. He sat with us. He extended an olive branch every chance he could get. He wanted a genuine relationship with us. He didn't care what society said. Society thought he was crazy. Not probably. They thought he was crazy. They thought he was just rebellious, probably. Like, he was just a lunatic, probably. But he didn't care. Like, that's how much he loved us. And that's how much he wants us to love him. And honestly, the truth is, the stigma isn't going to be crazy. We live in a world where people accept all sorts of things. But the thing is, the stigma won't be insane, but it will be there and you'll feel it. And don't crack under pressure. Jesus says in John 15 verse 19, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. And the hate isn't even always just projected. The hate is implied. Look at TV shows. Look at what's in movies, what's in series, what's in books, what's in ads. The over-sexualization of everything. The pushing of agendas that are contrary to what the Bible says and all that stuff. The hate is implied. It's not projected often, but it is implied in what society expects, what it accepts, and all that. And honestly, I just think Christ is the perfect example, because I'm remembering when he was taken to Pilate, and was it Pilate? I don't know. The guy who asked him, like, so you're the king of the Jews, and he's like, he's basically like, you said it, I didn't. And when you really read the Bible, guys, like, I'll always push for reading the Bible for yourself. You get to see, like, Jesus had, like, such an interesting personality. And he was never, like, outrightly, he was never, like, an abrasive person, I think. But, like, inherently, following Christ and being a Christian, it gets a bit abrasive. And he just handled it with so much grace and, like, class. I just love how he lived out his time on earth. It was just amazing. And my final encouragement to someone who's struggling to truly and fully commit. Practically, number one, make a decision, a real decision in your heart, who you are following, what you want to do. Make a decision and stick with it. Don't be lukewarm. Don't be in the middle. Don't be on the fence. That's number one, practically. Number two, get planted somewhere. I will never stop saying this. Get planted somewhere. There's a reason God exists. A reason God exists in three parts. And there's a reason why Jesus had disciples and encourage just the whole concept of community. You need community to keep you grounded. You need community to keep you accountable. Yeah. Then on the other end of things, I would just say, this is from me now, I would just say, following Christ is probably the best decision you could make. The journey is hard. The journey will stretch you. The journey will call for you to let go of certain things, certain thinking patterns, certain ways of life, things that maybe it was the only thing you knew. But the beauty of living for Christ, the beauty of just even sitting at his feet, forget about the blessings, because they are there. Forget about the blessings. Forget about all the, like, the tangible things that come. Just sitting in his feet, like, at his feet, bro. It's indescribable, the peace. And once you really, like, just let God be God, you understand that this is where you are meant to be, at his feet, as his child, just gazing in awe at who he is and how much he really loves us. Imagine going through all that, knowing that these people are not even going to be born loving you. Knowing that he knew that we would forsake him. He knew that we would make mistakes. He knew that we would come into relationship with him and fall back. He knew all that and still died that excruciatingly painful, excruciatingly traumatic death. Guys, that's love. Love is sacrifice. That's love. And he loves us. And it's hard, yes. Can't deny that, but there's joy in it. There's joy in the storm. Yeah, guys. This episode, I thought it was going to be like 15 minutes. I kid you not. But the word vomit, I'm joking. Anywho, that's it for today's episode. If you enjoyed it, leave a thumbs up, leave a comment, leave a rating. Share it with someone you feel it would bless. That's it. I'm out. Stay you, stay real, and stay shining. Bye, guys. Kisses.